And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey, everyone. Jim here, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Welcome to Double Shot Tuesday. We have two episodes that have come out today. This one is with Jackson Blue from Country 102.5 here in Boston. He is a country music DJ at the station there. I love episodes like this where we can kind of dive into the, you know, the radio side of this industry. You know, some people will bitch and complain about country radio and blah, 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 blah. And you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I can get on that train too. You know, I have my issues with country radio, and we actually talk about those right here in this episode with Jackson. This dude is the real deal, okay? He is no bullshit, no nothing. If you are Jackson Blue's bosses and you're listening to this, nothing in this episode gives away the secrets, if you know what I mean. I don't even know what that means. I'm just being fucking funny. But yeah, I think, you know, this is a dude that loves radio. This is a dude that loves what he does. There's nothing. Jackson Blue is one of those people where if you don't like Jackson Blue, there's something wrong with you. You know what I'm saying? This is the kind of person you want in your corner, and Jackson has been in our corner for quite a while, so we thank him for that. And I want you to hear a story. So I'm going to shut the fuck up. I'm going to let him talk. I'm going to let him do his thing. And we'll catch you on the flip side. So sit back, relax, and enjoy our conversation with Jackson Blue. Cheers, guys. Enjoy. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailswooster.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailswooster.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out. Hey, man.
What's up? Oh, I thought this was going to be some sort of video thing.
God, no, man. It's too early for that shit.
Oh, thank God, man. I was sitting here. I'm like, oh, what should I have as a background? I never do this bullshit.
No. We don't do fancy here. I could barely even figure this out.
All right. Well, this is cool. I didn't even know that you could do this with Spotify.
Yeah, and they're changing it on me, which really sucks.
What do you mean?
They're, as of like June 1st, I can't do it the way I'm doing it now. I have to go through like a whole nother program.
Why?
I don't know. Because Spotify, man. I don't know.
Do you already know what you're going to use, or do you?
Well, I guess they want us to use the other program they're like lined up with.
Oh, gotcha. What is that?
I have no idea.
It's not Zencaster. Zencaster's dope. I don't know if you can use that one, but.
I mean, I guess I could.
It's free and all that, like, which is cool. I did a podcast for a little bit, and it was really super user friendly. I don't know if this, I've never used the Spotify one, so I don't know, but looks pretty good.
What is it, Zencaster?
Yeah, Zencaster. Just the way I guess it sounds.
I guess I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, might as well check it out.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's it, because it's Riverside, right?
I don't know. Not sure. But if it is that, it's dope, dude. I think you'll like it. It's good.
All right, yeah, because I think that's the one they want us to use anyway. So that actually works out great. Anyway, well, thanks for being here, finally.
Hey, wait, are we recording right now?
Yeah, of course we are.
Is this the podcast?
This is it. This is how we do it. We just bullshit. Oh. It's no, like, no strings attached.
All right,
it's...
and there's my answer. So I can swear a little bit? That's
yeah,
all
yeah.
Right?
You can say whatever you want.
Your audience isn't going to get offended and cancel me?
If they do, then that's their problem.
No, that's cool. What's happening, man? I'm proud of you. I'm happy. How's the show doing? What's happening?
It's going, man. We're I can't believe the guests we've been able to have and the guests that are reaching out and lining up. It's wild.
I know. And that's why I started to see you. You started talking to me a long time ago, and I was like, there's no way at this point. You're starting to pull in some real guests. There's no chance you're going to want to talk to a radio DJ anymore.
No, of course I do.
No, I mean, I'm proud of you though, dude. I'm happy that you're blowing up. That's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, you know, it's what I love about you, you know, is that you're not, I mean, to me, you're not, you know, just a quote unquote radio DJ, right? You have such a personality, you have such a a social media presence that, you know, I really feel like who you portray is who you are.
I hope that's the truth. I mean, I don't want to talk too much about like stupid shit that nobody cares about, but like,
dude, that's all what this show is.
Okay, so from the radio side, this has nothing to do with the country, but like, I started in Top 40 radio. It's what I fell in love with, like as a kid. Like, I just loved Top 40. I loved the delivery of the DJs. I'm old, so like, it was all those boss jocks from like the 80s, early 90s, who were like flamethrower, big voice people. You know, I loved that stuff. I loved them doing a quick set up and then a quick punchline and get out. And then when you hit the post, there's some magic that happens that makes it funny for some reason. Like, most of those things that we say are not funny at all, but for some reason it works when you hit the post, you know? But the, so I love that. But the thing that was really cool is that I grew up in the Northeast, like in, you know, and I ended up at Kiss 108, which was awesome, you know? So I was doing that for like 10 years. And then from there, I got pigeonholed in this little thing. All the Boston jocks kind of get called Boston jocks. And I started seeing all these guys from the LA out west, all the people from New York, Chicago, all these people were getting the good looks, and us in Boston never did. And the reason why is because they all thought we were like Pac the Ka and Havid Yah. We all had these voices, all this stupid old stuff that is just so outdated. So I was like, you know, if I'm going to make myself a bigger presence in the radio industry, I need to go national a little bit. So we moved down to Dallas, Texas for 2 years, which is why you saw my 214 number. That's still from Texas, which I thought was just hilarious because like, that's not our, we're from the Northeast, right? You know, we're New Englanders.
Right. So this, you know, and it's funny not to interrupt you, but
yeah.
You know, when you sent me your number and I was like 214, I'm like, I can't tell you how many 214 numbers I have in my phone now. And I'm like,
I bet because of all the country artists.
Right. I'm like, why the hell does Jackson have a fucking Dallas number? But all right, go on.
That was it, man. But it's because I was trying to stretch out. So we went down there and it was a whole different thing. You take like people from New England, move them down to Texas. Anybody who has done that besides probably, I don't even know. I don't know if Austin is the same, but like the Dallas area, the first time, the coolest thing I saw down there, the first time I saw a tumbleweed, I watch a lot of cartoons and I thought a tumbleweed was going to be like, hay, a nice hay ball that like bounces nice and quietly. Yeah. No, it's a freaking dried up Christmas tree. That's huge. That can damage your car and kill you. Like, tumbleweeds are no joke, dude. The first time one jumped around in front of my car, like, it was the coolest. I pulled over and I was like, this was a moment. This was great. But anyway, so like, I went down there, and what I'm trying to do with this long ass story is just say, I went down to Dallas. I was there for a couple years. Then we went to Baltimore and I lived there for a couple years and I love that city. And then we came back to Boston. But when I went down to Dallas, I did Top 40 there. I did Top 40 in Baltimore, came back. And when I came back to Boston, I did Kiss again. And then I made the move. And this is where it kind of got screwy. And this is where it comes back to like me just being me, is that I went to Hot 96.9 after that for a couple of years. So I did hip hop radio. So I now have gone from, and that when it started was all the cool jamming 94.5 people, anybody from the Boston area, all the people from jamming 94.5 back in the day went to Hot 96.9. Yeah. I was the one standout geeky nerd from Kiss 108 that they took and they put on Hot 96.9. So now I'm there and I love hip hop. So it's totally fine. Like, that's part of like me. I love it. But you know, that was the first thing that was a little uncomfortable for me to try to do. And then after that, like, I'm there at Hot 96.9 and I'm like, I really want to do mornings. And I did mornings in Baltimore, but I really wanted to do mornings. So I started making a pitch for myself all the time when they started thinking about changing up morning shows at the country station. I was like, that's my spot. You need to put me on there. That's what I studied for so long. Anyway, what the whole thing is like, when I did hip hop radio, when I did country radio, when I lived in Baltimore, when I lived in Dallas, I was always doing the same thing where I have to like be a public person and talk to people and kind of relate to them on their level and get to know them and all that. And what I got to learn, and I love sociology, it's kind of something that I just like, is that people are freaking people no matter what. Some people like certain things. Some people like other things. Some people have some beliefs. Some people have other beliefs. But when it all comes down to it, if you're honest and you're yourself, then that's all that matters, man. Then you can relate with any audience. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's where I came from in the beginning. And that's what I'm trying. Still, Country 102.5 has been the hardest one for me because the audience is so wide that I don't feel like I can 100% go out there. I'm starting to feel like I can. I don't know if you've noticed or if you listen much, but like, I feel like there's a lot more of me coming across now than there was 3 years ago on Country 102.5. You know, like I'm starting to weave my like weird stuff in there. And the more I do it and I don't hear any pushback, the more I push a little bit more. And as soon as I hear it and somebody's like, whoa, that was freaking weird, then I'm like, okay, I gotta pump the brakes and step back a little bit. So it's been a little bit of a learning curve for me on this one. But in the end, I think the more I meet people, like the more people are all the same. They're all cool. You know, like as long as you get on their level and you're not trying to sell them or do something stupid to them, everybody's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny because when I didn't grow up liking country music like all. And
that's a surprise.
Yeah. Right. I mean, actually, it's really only been within the last 8 or 9 years that I've actually really, really liked country music. And it's only within the last probably like 3 or 4 that I've really liked real country music, if that makes sense.
I totally get it. Cause I put you in that category of being a real country music.
Yeah. I mean, cause you and I have had that conversation about like, wow, this song sucks.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Whatever. And that's funny, dude. Cause you know what, if I'm being totally honest, like, and sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
No. Like,
I want to talk to you more about like during this podcast, I want to jump into country music a little bit and talk
Hell
about
yeah.
it. I'm the kind of guy that like, and I know that the purists of country music hate people that not hate. That's extreme, but don't really respect the people who like the Florida Georgia Lines were the first ones that everybody thought, oh, bro, country. Yep. Dustin Lynch. I love Dustin Lynch. Cole Swindell. I love Cole Swindell. Like some of these guys are considered pop country. But yo, if I'm going to hear a song and it's going to make me dance and have a good time, I don't care. I love it. And then you know what? I love Zach Bryan. I love Zach Top. I love some of these other guys that are doing more traditional stuff.
Yeah.
But the conversation eventually I want to get to is how can a country radio station like succeed in 2024 when we're so segmented? It's kind of the same as top 40 music, but we'll get to that. So anyway, you just started liking country music.
Yeah, you know, it's I was working at, I don't know if you were, when you were in Baltimore and in Dallas, was that before you had your kids?
I had my first daughter when I was still here in Boston. I had my second daughter when we were down in Dallas. Yeah.
All right. How long ago was that?
I have such a hard time putting times to things. I don't know. That's I was doing mornings with Hannah in like 2017 because I just saw a couple calls. So it had to be like 2014, 2013.
Okay. So do you remember when Showcase Live was up at Gillette?
Showcase Live?
Yeah, it was a small little concert venue. It was right next to, you know, if you're at Gillette and you're looking at the movie theater and you look to your left, it was right there in that.
Oh, yeah. I do. Yes, I do.
So God, I was working there. Yeah, cool. I was working there and I was like 21, 22 years old. And, you know, didn't like country music at all at the time. And I had some friends. I was working there and I was working at Longhorn Steakhouse. And, you know, Longhorn was all country music, you know. And so I had some friends that were going to a show. And they were like, hey, are you working tonight? I was like, yeah. And they're like, are you going to stay for the show if you get cut early? I'm like, God, no, it's country music. I'd rather fucking put bamboo shoots on my fingernails. And they were like, no, you got to stay. And I was like, guys, I'm not doing it.
What were you listening to at that point? Were you a big rock head?
So no, actually, yes and no. I was listening to like bands like OAR and Fish and, you know, I was doing the jam band thing because I was in college, God, you know?
Okay.
So they're like, you got to stay. And so I stayed, and that night playing at Showcase Live for the first time of a few since I was there was a little unknown guy named Eric Church.
Wow. So
he just blew me away.
Wait, are you being silly or was he unknown at the time?
No, he was unknown at the time. It was his first album had like recently just came out.
What year was this? That had to be like 2005? Even
it
earlier,
was like 2007.
Something? What
I want to say it was 2007, 2008.
Oh God! Wow, he yeah. still was not that big at that point. Wow.
No, yeah, I think like Carolina may have just come out. Yeah, so you know, I stayed.
Well, that'll do it for you, dude. Eric Church live. I mean,
yeah, and you know, and Eric Church live in a venue that may have held 500 people.
Yeah, man, I think you know that's the kind of thing that you're chasing that high for the rest of your country life. You know right. what I mean? Like that's pretty
right. That's why now. Amazing. That's why now, you know, especially tracking all of these people coming up, yeah. like if they come up here, you know, a lot of these people out of Texas and, you know, the red dirt scene that I'm like absolutely in love with. Like,
if I love the red dirt scene, dude.
If I can see them in a place like the Sinclair or off the rails or, you know, wherever, I'm there because that's just the stepping stone.
Those are my favorite shows until I got to, and I'm not throwing around stupid things or whatever, but I finally got to go down to CRS, you know, like country radio
yeah,
seminar.
We were actually supposed to be there this year and just a lot of things that happened and I couldn't make
if
it.
If you can go again, go dude. Like it's the craziest scene I've ever been a part of. Like, and I stopped drinking 4 years ago. So it was a little bit difficult because everything was open bar and everything was like, oh my God, it was just insane, but I still had the craziest time and just being able to roll into those little tiny hole in the wall bars. Mm-hmm. Like I was in a hole in the wall bar and I saw Dylan Marlowe, who I think is, I love that kid. And then Megan Maroney, like before it was like right when Tennessee Orange was coming, but everybody in that bar already knew her. And like, she ruled that place and she lit it. And just being able to be a part of a moment like that. It's crazy, man.
Yeah. I think Megan's going to be one of those, like she's going to be a Carrie Underwood kind of,
that's super what I fun. Thought, man. When I saw her live, I feel like she's a Taylor Swift, like a hybrid. I think a Taylor Swift, Carrie Underwood, and these are big names. So like, that's, I mean, obviously we're going to gravitate towards names that we know, but she's going to have her own thing. But the fact that she's so open, like a book will just say anything. Like she, you know, will ditch on the bad dudes and like talk about relationships, and she sounds so good and sultry and she owns the stage and her look and like everything about her is just, dude, she's a super superstar.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it doesn't hurt that she's easy on the eyes, you know, it's
no doubt. I'm not pretty, man. You
know? But yeah, you know, that's why I love, you know, like we have a relationship with Off the Rails in Worcester and, you know, I got a huge thank you to those guys because I've been able to see so many artists that, you know, one I've loved or two I haven't really known or gotten to see and been like, okay, I get it. And man, whew, those are the venues that I don't think get enough credit.
Let me know when there's some good shows coming to off the rails, right? That's what it's off called in Worcester.
Yeah, Worcester.
If there's some good stuff coming, let me know. Because I think now that I'm in Waltham, where the radio station is, I'm not that far from Worcester from there to jump to go for a night. Like, getting into Boston, such a pain in the ass.
Yeah, man. Well, so this episode's going to come out on Tuesday as a double shot. And
who am I double shotting with?
A local band, actually, called Trigger South.
Cool.
They just put out their EP today as we're talking, because it's Friday.
Trigger South. I'll check them out.
Yeah, and they're actually really good. You know, they're like a... You know, I don't mean to say it in a bad way, but they're a bar band that's trying to do good, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, so May 14th, Pecos and the Rooftops is coming off the rails, and that's going to be a show to end all shows.
Okay, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have to buy tickets for that place ahead of time, or can I just roll up?
Don't worry. If you're coming with me, don't worry about it.
No. I want to support anyway. I'm not trying to get freebies.
Do whatever you want to do. But yeah, I mean, they're out of Texas, and they're just incredible. They're just incredible.
Cool. I'll check them out, and then I'll be ready to sing along.
So what was I saying? I don't remember.
I don't know. I think we were talking about how you loved OAR and fish. By the way, I grew up in Vermont, so I went to Nectar's all the time. And I went to a Fish Grateful Dead show one time, and that was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was into all that stuff. And, you know, I think for me, you know, as I got older, as I started to have kids and, you know, responsibilities became a little more apparent, you know, country music just started to make a little more sense because they were singing and talking about the same things I was going through.
Yeah.
And that's how I got sucked in, man. My wife, one of the first big dates we had, my wife and I went to go see Garth at the DCU Center. And cool. I mean, after you see Garth live, you know, it's hard to go back to anything else.
Yeah. Is that your favorite? You think that's your number one show? Did that beat the Eric Church?
I mean, because
probably did, because you probably were in a different space during Eric Church where you weren't totally like, you didn't know all the songs. You weren't totally in fandom.
Yeah. You know, yeah, probably, you know, that first Garth show, especially with, you know, my wife at the time, or my girlfriend at the time. Right. It was just one of those nights. It was, yeah, you know, and now I'm going to probably start to cry because of all the shit we're going through, but, yeah, it was.
I don't want to get into that, but I hope you're okay, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, I will be. But anyway, yeah, that was probably one of the best shows I've ever seen. You know, and I've seen so many. You know, it's hard to say because you're right. It's all about, you know, the moment and the feelings and who you're with and all that. But
I've had moments that it's funny, like, and it goes back to like. In country music and that segmentation of like everything, because there's so many different styles now. I mean, I think Nate Smith is like a different style than that traditional style, but that's like a step towards the pop. And then there's more steps and more steps and more steps, yeah. You know, like I love them all. Well, I don't love them all. There's some that I hate straight up, but like, I love something from every style that there is, you know, yeah. And there's moments that I've gone to concerts. And the thing that sucks about me is that everybody can hear the lyrics. I don't hear lyrics at all. I just hear music, you know? And if it has a good jam or if it's a good slow song, it makes me feel I could cry and not even know what the words are to a song, which sucks because country music is all about storytelling. And when I dive in and I start reading the lyrics, then I'm like, holy shit, that's deep, man. Or sometimes a song I think is a jam. And then I'll start looking at the lyrics and I'm like, ew, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Like, I mean, perfect example, right? Like, I've had my ups and downs with like Morgan Wallen, right? And you know, I've always been a big.
What were your downs with Morgan Wallen?
I think some of it is a little too, poppy, a little too radio friendly, fake. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I get you.
You know, like I don't like the hip hop side of it. You know, I just don't like hip hop. It's not, you know, it's.
Yeah.
Unless it's like, you know, not to.
So, a guy like you who, like, and I know your opinion on, and you can be opinionated on some of that music stuff. So a guy like Morgan Wallen, who obviously he's earned the right to kind of like flex his creativity, you know, and whether or not that creativity is being used to make money or it's because it's his passion, let's hope it's his passion. And he likes some hip hop. So he starts throwing some hip hop influences into country. You can't handle that.
Well, see, like, I can because, like, I love Jelly Roll. Like, absolutely.
I freaking loved. I think he's the best dude, right? And plus, you can't not love him because he's a good dude.
Right. And I think that's maybe, you know, and I get to see Jelly last summer when he was at Great Woods or whatever it's called this year. and he was just, like, blew me away. Like, absolutely blew me away. You know, but, like, there's some of the. It's hard
name
to say.
Somebody. Name somebody that you don't like.
In like popular,
yeah.
Somebody I don't like that's popular in country.
I can give you one
right now.
Brett Young.
Okay, yeah. I also don't like Chris Young very much either.
I love Young Love and Saturday Nights. I'm kind of with you on that ish, but that you know, and it feels so bad even saying people that we don't like because
right. Oh no, absolutely. Because I don't not like them, right? But
and it's only our personal taste, you know, right. Like. I can tell you both those guys are like Chris Young. You can't say that he doesn't have one of the best voices out there.
No, he's got
insane voice. And Brett Young, for his genre of music, I've never heard. There's not a lot of guys who put that much feeling into their music all the time.
Right. Chris, I mean, don't get me wrong. Chris Young could sing me the phone book, right? But I got to see him live, and there was just something about his live show that I wasn't impressed about.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where you get the most out of an artist is when you see them live. You know exactly. You know, you can kind of tell exactly what you're going to get. And, you know, he just stood there all night like a statue. And, like, I kind of saw that as a huge surprise.
Do you think he had a bad night or do you think that that's just how he does?
I don't know. And I don't know because I've only seen him once.
Hmm.
But, yeah.
Interesting. I mean, and that's weird because he does have a lot of, I mean, he has a lot of slow songs, but he's got some, like, Young Love and Saturday Nights, Famous Friends. Like, he's got those songs that are kicking, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, but yeah, I mean, there's, it's hard to say artists that I don't like, you know, that's like, ugh.
I think that's such a shitty thing to talk about too. I don't even know why I just brought that. I'm sorry. That's because no. that's like not supporting an artist, you know, like, and it's only our personal taste. That's all.
Right.
I was only asking because I know that you, like the stuff that you like, you, from what we've talked about before, you definitely lean traditional or at mm-hmm. least like that's in the Red Dirt country, which kind of yeah. makes sense, you know? So like a lot of times people that like the traditional and the Red Dirt don't like the other side, the pop stuff. And then, you know, that's kind of what I was just wondering if you ever do like some of that stuff, you know?
Yeah, or, oh no, I definitely do. I think it has its place, you know, like you said.
Like on Country 102.5 all the time.
Right. But yeah, you know, that's what makes it so hard for me, you know, when it comes to the radio, because it's like, you know, especially doing this kind of thing where it's, you know, I go down the rabbit holes and find new artists, or not new, but like
new to you artists,
yes. Right, new to me artists or artists that are killing in different, you know, parts of the country that are, you know, selling
don't out, have national exposure,
right,
kind of deal.
Right. They're selling out major stadiums in the areas they're in, but
yeah.
You mention their name around here and they're like, who's that?
Like Cadillac 3, dude. Those right. guys are
with keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center. Again, here in Worcester, DCUCenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates. Numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, DCUCenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
So good.
So and like, good.
Why aren't they on the radio?
Right. Right. They're not on the radio. Like, even like, I think it's hilarious. Right. Now, I'll be honest. I don't listen to a ton of, you know, radio. But, you know, I listen to it enough that I know the songs that are on the radio, if that makes sense. Right.
Of course. Yeah.
The 20 songs you guys can play a day.
Oh, good God. Get the fuck out of here, man.
But it's like, you know, like Zach Bryan's coming to Gillette this year, right? This summer, right? I yep. don't know if I've ever heard Zach Bryan on the radio, but the radio stations promote it like it's the next coming of Christ,
right?
You know, it's like what are we doing?
So can you blame them for that? Like if
no,
okay, and I'm taking myself out of radio right now. I'm just making myself a human being, and let's think about it. What is radio trying to do?
Right.
Radio is trying to make money.
Right, exactly.
If radio is trying to make money, then radio needs to latch itself to whatever the hot thing is.
Right.
However, sometimes when they test those things, they don't come back testing very well.
Okay.
So they can't play them or else people are going to be tuning out the same
right.
people that they want to be their audience. So you can't play it, but at the same time, you know, it's the hottest thing in the world.
Right.
What are you supposed to do?
So wait a minute. Hold on. Are you saying to me that like somebody like Zach Bryan isn't testing well in our market?
Did not test well, yes. But I also,
really?
In my own personal opinion, this has nothing, and I don't see those tests, so I can't speak for them 100%. I just heard that his first song, In the Orange,
yep.
isn't that what it was called? In the
yeah,
Orange?
Something in the Orange, yep.
Did not test very well. But I think, I love Zach Bryan, and I've listened to a ton of his songs, and a lot. I don't think that was the right song to go to radio with, especially as the first
yeah,
single.
Yeah, that's
him.
True.
You know, it's not a radio-friendly song,
no.
so.
Nope. Yeah, but
that's what I think the deal is with that. And I think if he had put out, God, I'm trying to think of one that like that would work. Shit, what's the one that's The Fence? Turn the Page, is that what it's called? Shoot, I can't remember. Anyway, there's some jams from Zach Bryan that I think would work.
Yeah,
and I just don't think it did. But he sold out, right? Gillette Stadium sold out fast with him.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
But like, you know, like a song like I Remember Everything with Casey Musgraves that is off this latest album that he put out. Like that's a, to me, with the, you know, with the slowness of it, that's a radio song.
Yeah.
You know, like, and even the,
I agree with you.
You know, even the one that he has with the Warren Treaty with Hey Driver, like that's a fucking killer song.
Yes, totally. And I think he did put out the one, didn't he put out the one with Carly Pierce? That was a single. And I think we did play it for like a half a second.
Yeah. Oh wait. Casey Musgraves.
Oh, yeah, the Casey Musgraves. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like it's just funny because, you know.
And you know what the other thing is, honestly, about the country charts, which is crazy, is I came from Top 40. Top 40 is so fast. Like something comes out, it can go to number one in like 3 weeks and
mm-hmm.
then go back down in like a week.
Right.
In country, if somebody puts out a song, they have to like commit to that for like 6 months, man. It takes so long in country music to go up the chart. It goes so slow unless you're one of the big chosen 10 people. Besides that, it takes forever. You know what I mean? And even some of the big guys, I don't know, Brothers Osborne, I think they take like 7 years to get one of their songs up the chart. It just for some reason takes so freaking long. And so I think like, it's really hard if you pick the wrong song as an artist that just didn't connect for whatever reason with the audience, then you're stuck with that for a while.
Right. I mean, even think about it. Think about it this past year, right? With Al Dean and Try That in a Small Town, right?
Yep.
That catches fire because of the controversy. It's getting played and played and played and played and played. And it's still not number one until what? October.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
So then the other side of that, which is the unfortunate side, I think, is that since the chart moves so damn slow, it becomes nearly impossible for new artists to break in and have a chance to make it on the radio.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, unless they're lucky. And I think the place, oh God, I'm going to start getting all fired up right now.
That's right.
The place where I think it's the worst is women. Women are not getting a look in country music.
And they like, still aren't.
No. And then when, so I just wish... So the whole Beyonce thing that came up, and everybody was up in arms about Beyonce not getting played on country radio. My problem with that was, and I think I love what she's doing. I love the next album is going to be, from what I hear, a rock album. And the reason why she's making these albums, if you don't know, go Google it because it's pretty cool. So I support all of that. Unfortunately, Texas Hold'em, I don't think sounded like it belonged on country radio. No. Myself, that's myself again. Like,
I'm with you. I'm with you. You know,
I think there's other artists, and even like I hated that it started becoming this thing of like, well, Beyonce is this big star. Well, she hasn't done anything on country music on country radio yet, so let's take that away.
Right.
Well, maybe it's this race thing, and then I'm like, yo, then put Mickey Guyton on the radio. Mickey Guyton should have been on the radio years ago.
Right.
You know, like, so don't fight. And I understand Beyonce is probably trying to knock down walls for some of these other artists, which is great and admirable, but God, we got to fix the whole problem.
Right. Oh, I agree with you. Speaking of Mickey Guyton, you know, like here's a young lady who, what did she do? Sing? I don't know if it was the national anthem or God Bless America at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know, she's coming to Boston here soon and playing at the Brighton Music Hall. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, really? That's gonna be a kick-ass show, though.
Oh, of course it will. But like, you know.
But she should be playing a much bigger spot.
Right.
No doubt.
She should be playing Roadrunner or. You know, something along those lines.
At least House of Blues.
Right, right. And it just, it's wild, you know, because there's a ton of women right now in country music. Like, if you do your digging, that you're like, why isn't she on the radio? Why isn't she on
so many of them? So many of them. Like, a Haley Witters, why isn't she bigger right now? I'm so glad Ashley Cook got a look, but like, how? Because all these other songs that have come out have been so huge. And I'm like, yo, why aren't we playing these people?
Right. And then, you know, perfect example. Even like somebody like Kacey Musgraves, right? Like, she's playing The Garden this year, I think for like two shows or maybe one show for sure. But I haven't heard a Kacey Musgraves song on the radio in years.
I know.
You know, like it just goes to show you that. You know, and nothing against you or whoever, you know, who you work for.
Don't worry, I'm not making the decisions. Yes, but I understand.
But like, you know, I think if I'm somebody at the top of radio, regardless of the genre, you know, I got to start worrying about who really has the influence here.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I think a problem with it is this, like, so think of Kacey Musgraves and the feeling you get from her overall being in music, right?
Yep.
Like, just whatever that is for you, whatever it is for you. Now compare that to Dustin Lynch, or compare it to, God, I'm just trying to think of Old Dominion, or
right.
It's very sonically different. You know what I mean?
100%. Like,
so that, I think that's a challenge for country radio, is trying to find a balance where you're not going to play two songs back to back where you're losing half your audience.
Right. 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 Where it's not like, you know, for a guy like me, where it's like, you know, I'm big in the make country music sad again, you know, you know, and it's, yeah, you can't play something like Kacey Musgraves and then play, you know, World on Fire.
Or gosh, did you hear the song that came out today? And I think it's such a good song, but like, and they're working at the country radio, which the new Kane Brown featuring Marshmello.
What?
Just came out today. It's a banger. Not... It's got like the hook is all, but it's Kane Brown and it's like, it's really, really good. It's going to be a summer jam. It's going to be a song that when the DJ who's mixing up music before your favorite act comes out and plays their concert. That's going to be on there and everybody's going to go crazy. And I was talking to my boss about this. I'm like, we're going to be at a show. This is going to come on. People are going to go nuts. And we're going to be like, why aren't we playing this? We're missing out on something. But how can we play it? Because it's an EDM song.
Right. Oh, it's what? Oh, Miles.
It's getting hard, man. It's getting hard between like the two poppy and the two not poppy. Like, it's so hard.
Right. I mean, because even, you know, going back to Kane Brown, and you and I have, or I'll say this, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I had made a comment to you that, you know, Bury Me in Georgia was probably one of Kane Brown's best songs because it sounds like a country song.
Yeah.
You know, and it's.
Did you see the new interview he just said the other day?
I didn't, no.
So he was basically, I think he was heating himself up because he knew he was about to put out this EDM song with Marshmello and work at the country radio. But I remember when he put out Bury Me in Georgia, he was talking about how he was putting out much more traditional country music. But the other day he said something about how his biggest hits have been his pop songs.
Yep.
And then he came out with this one. And he's right, man. He definitely is. And I love all of the songs. So like, I'm not saying one way or the other on Kane Brown. I actually really enjoy him.
Yeah. I remember when I really first started getting into this whole thing, you know, What Ifs was one of those songs that kept popping up on my playlist, and, you know, it still hadn't even made it to radio. And I was like, this is a great song.
Well, we've played it plenty now.
Right. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, it's, you know, it's just so wild, you know, how these artists, you know, just go from, like you said, they can go from like superstardom or nobody's to superstardom and then disappear.
Yeah, totally. I just wish that like I'm a big professional wrestling fan. Like I've been since like way back in the day, man. But, and there's this thing that everybody's talking about in professional wrestling right now, this tribalism where it's, if you're a big fan of one of the wrestling leagues, like the WWE, and there's this other league that's a startup called the AEW, and if you're an AEW fan, all of a sudden you hate WWE and you're so mad about it. Or if you're a WWE fan, you're like, oh, those little pissants, AEW, oh, it's garbage, blah, blah, blah. I hate that we're so like that as a society right now.
Yeah,
Why can't you like Zach Bryan and I like Florida Georgia Line or Tyler Huckabee or whatever? Like, why do we have to like not like each other because we don't like the same music? Like, it's so stupid. Enjoy what you like. And if we can coexist on the same radio station and listen to the same stuff and go to a festival and party it up together, then why not?
Yeah. You know, no, I mean, and what I love the most, I think, about country music and the way it is right now, like, my favorite, my favorite artist in country music right now goes from having number one hits to everybody forgets who he is. And it's awesome.
Are you saying, don't tell me who it is? Is this somebody, this is your favorite artist? Are you talking about somebody in particular?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Don't tell me who it is yet.
Okay.
So they get number one hits and then they disappear and nobody knows who they are.
Yep. Everybody forgets who they are. Like,
where are we at right now with this person?
Award shows don't give him the credit. He's never, I don't want to say never, but he hasn't been nominated for much in a long time. He just had a number one with a young lady that was at the Paradise Rock Club last Friday.
Guy and girl. Oh, you're talking about Justin Moore.
I am.
I am. You're right. Justin Moore is a weird one, man, because sometimes he's hot and he gets the radio stuff. You're right. And then sometimes he's gone. Like right now, doesn't he have like he's got a song right now in the top 30, I think, right?
I'm not sure.
That's my dirt. Bury my dirt. God, see, I can't even remember the name of the song right now.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
But whatever. Justin Moore is awesome and he's legit too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he's one of those guys that pumps out the hits, but also has no problem telling Nashville to go fuck itself. You know, and I think that's amazing that he's still able to climb the charts the way he does.
Probably because he's had hits, he's loaded, and now you can kind of lay back and do your music and do it the way you want to do it.
Right. And, you know, like, there's not many artists out there, regardless of the genre, that put out albums that you can, you know, start to finish. You don't have to skip a song. And, you know, for me, Justin had one of those right before COVID with Late Nights and Long Necks.
Oh, yeah.
Like that album, you could put on, for me, I could put on and just listen.
Isn't that rad? Isn't that rad when you find an album that does that for you? And it's and I love that it does it for different people too. I love that, like, everybody, every almost every artist, some people are trash and probably don't have any fans, but they shouldn't be making albums. But almost every band or every artist puts out an album, there's going to be people who are going to love that and connect to it. I think that's so great.
It's kind of like Luke Combs' first album too. Like, to me, that's another one, start to finish. Like, don't.
I think a lot of people feel that way about that. That guy was a special. That was special.
Yeah. Yep. You know, it's. I love Luke, right? You're not gonna. You'll be hard pressed to find a bigger Luke Combs supporter, I think. Well, maybe not, because people are crazy, but you know, I love Luke to death. My biggest gripe about Luke Combs is that every album he's put out sounds exactly the same.
That's my gripe about him too, honestly. And no, not that there's a gripe. That's
no.
Again, this is an artist. That's their music. That's their art. But I think the other thing about Luke Combs to me, at one point, I'm pretty cool with it now, and I'm a big Luke Combs fan too. Like, I think he was perfect for a while there.
Yeah.
And I think what's kind of weird about Luke Combs is I think sometimes these artists need to take a little break. You got to go away for like a year, you know, and work on an album and then come back strong again. And then people are going to crave you. I think Luke has been putting out stuff constantly where he hasn't really disappeared. And that's another thing. I think because of the charts moving so damn slow, I talked to Russell Dickerson about this, about how when he put out Yours and that song became so monstrous for him, that was the song, right? That song he had written, and it didn't hit for like 2 years, I think, after he wrote it. And then it took another like year for it to go up the charts. So when I talked to him, I'm like, congratulations. It's the biggest wedding song in the world. How much stuff do you have right now ready to record? And he was like, freaking like five albums. I gotta get this stuff out. So I think a lot of times, and also if those artists would go away for a year, it would give more new artists a chance to jump in there and establish themselves a little bit. But I think it's a crazy, there's a lot of stuff going on in this game behind the scenes that we don't know about.
Oh yeah. 100%. 100%. You know, and it's really wild. You know, it really, you know, going back to the Justin Moores of the world, right? Like, even, you know, not to, you know, but like, even like somebody like Kip Moore, right? Like,
That's another good example.
Like, huge, has, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen Kip live, but puts on a hell of a show.
He's the man.
Right. And then it's like, I haven't heard a Kip Moore song on the radio in 3 years, you know, whatever.
I mean, we still play Beer Money.
Well, yeah, but I mean.
No, I know what you're saying. Like, a new one. I know. Billy Currington's the same deal. I think Billy Currington is so.
Yeah.
He's totally different. Like, Kip Moore, Billy Currington, I think they're polar opposites kind of, but as human beings. But Billy Currington, he's putting out new stuff right now that's really good too, but it's not finding its way onto the radio. But I think both Billy Currington and Kip Moore, I think both of them fall into that same category as Justin Moore, that they made it, they made their thing. They have a huge following that's never going to leave them. They've made their money, and now they're doing it for the art.
Right. And, you know, and on the flip side of that, right, while we're talking about it, and we'll get into whatever it is we were talking about earlier, but
I don't know, who cares, this is the podcast.
This is true. And this is actually a blast. I'm actually having a great time.
Good.
You get those artists that were, you know, on top of the world, and then for whatever reason something happens, you know, they get into the public eye for a popular reason or a negative reason, and it's like they have to rebuild their career all over again, you know. And I'm saying that thinking about like Michael Ray, right? Because I'm a huge Michael Ray fan, you know.
He's really good.
The Carly Pearce fans of the world would, you know, probably shoot me on sight for saying that. But, like, this is a dude that, you know, has his demons, as we all do, right? But had them put out there so publicly that he had no choice but to step away. You know, and now he's got to almost rebuild that momentum.
Because of the breakup with Carly Pearce?
I mean, I think so. I mean, she puts.
I mean, I think
out.
So too. Honestly, a little bit, but like, it's not like the dude. Not like he was canceled. It's not like he did anything.
No, that's true. That's terrible. True. But I think Carly Pearce had such a, you know, I mean, I think she had such a magnificent impact on it with
for
the
sure.
songs, and every, you know, everybody knew who exactly she was talking about. That, you know, what else are you gonna do? You know, if I'm, what else are you gonna do?
Yeah. Yeah. I had a thing with Michael Ray. I love Michael Ray, and I really do. And I love Carly Pearce. Like, I'm team both of them. But when I was down in Nashville for that CRS, I actually was in God, they shouldn't put me in these rooms. But I was in a room with all the top execs of Michael Ray's label. I'm not good at remembering what label is what, but like we were in there and they were playing us a new song at that time, which was a year ago. So you could probably figure out which one it was. I can't right now. But so they played it and it was a reaction record to Carly Pearce. And Carly Pearce kind of had already put out her side of the story. And then Michael Ray quickly kind of put out his side of the story. And I think it's kind of like one of those things where it doesn't matter what the truth is to people that are just fans of these people. It's sad. And it's kind of, it's unfortunate. And then there's choosing of sides. It's almost like when there's a divorce, even if you're friends with both people, you unfortunately seem to gravitate towards one of them. And I think the same thing was happening with Michael Ray and Carly Pearce, in my opinion, at the time when I was in there with all these big execs who were trying to like launch his brand new song that they thought was going to be the next big thing. I was like, I don't think he should say that. I don't think he should do that. And it's not because he's wrong, but I think we should just move past this and just start going back to making music. And I know country music's all about telling stories. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good album cut. Like I think on the album, they definitely should have that. But if you're going to put it out as like a single, it's going to be received negatively by people no matter what, like, you know what I mean? Like if you're just thinking about going outside on a sunny day and drinking some beers, everybody's going to be like, hell yeah. But if you're now talking about how somebody did something sketchy to you and your relationship behind the scenes, and that's somebody that a good portion of your audience likes or loves or feels sad that you no longer have a connection with, it's not going to look good, you know, like. And they were shocked that I was even speaking like that, because I don't think people talk like that in Nashville yeah. and say their opinions. So I was like, I put my foot in my mouth, and then afterwards we left and I'm like, I'm really sorry. I probably shouldn't have said my feelings, I guess.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, like in Nashville, it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of yes men, you know.
It is. And they all care greatly. And they're really like, I don't want to shoot shots, because I think the machine has a lot of flaws, but there's a lot of people there that are really passionate and they love the music and they're doing it for the right reason. And then there's some people there that are holding on that are doing it still that are not doing it for the right reason. Right. So that's that.
Right. So for you being in the radio world, right, and obviously also living in reality, what kind of country artists are out there that you've kind of stumbled across that you don't understand why they're not being played or whatever?
So many of them. I would have to pull out my phone, because I'm the kind of guy, every single Friday I go on Spotify and I pop on their new music Friday. It's my favorite thing to do. I have to do it every single Friday, and I have a playlist and people can get on this. You wouldn't like it because it's filled with like, it has every genre of music. So there's some hip hop on there, but you can fast forward past it. But it's like, so it has hip hop, it has country, it has, I love alternative, like indie alternative type music is kind of like my very, very favorite, to tell you the truth. But it has, I love all of it. I love all music. I put Spanish music on and I don't speak Spanish, but I just love, I feel like music is one of the things that we need to keep us young and to keep our mind alive. Yeah. Because I think, and if you only listen to one genre of music and you only listen to it over and over and over, that's kind of why I don't understand people who listen to classic rock only, because that music came out in like the 70s and 80s.
Right.
I feel like you need to change up a pattern in your brain to be able to stay sharp. And so that's why my family hates it that I keep putting these on the playlist, but there's always at least three or four songs in the playlist that are like straight up Spanish and sound mariachi and sound kind of like, you know, traditional Spanish with Spanish words. And I don't know what the hell they're saying, but I love the music and I'll sing along, because I think it's so important to just kind of like keep your mind sharp by listening to all that. Anyway, it's called Weekly Station. If you go on Spotify and check it out. And every Friday I go in there and I look. And there's also another one that's called New Music Friday Country. And I go on that and I run through it too. And there's every single week, I could give you 20 artists that I think need to be on the radio. And it changes every week, but it's so hard to break in, you know?
Yeah, it really is. It really, really is.
I mean, I'm trying to think of who I love, right? I love Zach Top right now. I think he's so, so cool. I love that Dylan Marlowe that I said.
Yeah.
Who are some women? There's so many women that I love. I'm going to start looking through. Who do you love? Who's somebody that you think needs to be on the radio?
Are we talking, what are we talking? Are we talking
bands? Or even,
are we talking artists?
Like something, even if something that you're, maybe something that you're, maybe that doesn't need to be on the radio, because that's like a whole different beast. But who are some people that you really like that are coming up that you love? Yeah, no, fuck it. People that should be on the radio.
People that should be on the radio. I think Cody Jinks should be on the radio. I think Co Wetzel should be on the radio up here. I think.
Who is that one?
Co Wetzel.
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey Podcast sent you. Cheers.
Hello?
Hello?
Well, I'll be. We got disconnected. We went too long. They shut us off.
No. That's weird.
Stuff. Both of those real good too.
So yeah, Co Wetzel, Shane Smith and the Saints, 49.
Oh Winchester. God, Shane Smith and the Saints. That is such a funny one to me. My actual name is Shane Smith.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So Jackson Blue, I'm named like a dog, but
I'm like a dog.
And I've been Jackson Blue for a very long time, but I was Shane Smith is my real name on my thing. So when I started seeing Shane Smith and the Saints, I was like, this is hilarious. And then. I started seeing that was years ago. And then I started seeing he was getting respect and more respect in the band. And I'm like, oh my God, this is an underground, big time band.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. They've been on Yellowstone. They've been on this show now twice.
Oh, you had them on?
Yeah.
Oh, congrats, man.
Yeah. Shane and I have, become pretty friendly over the last couple of years. And
wow. I'm the second Shane Smith that's been a guest. This is great. And I'm a poser, Shane Smith, because I'm Jackson.
I'm named like a dog, I guess. That's funny. But yeah, a lot of bands like that,
That's where I would, I think I could probably, if I sat down and with a list in front of me, I could probably guess 90% of your favorites.
Yeah, probably.
Which also is one of my superpowers. This is my superpower, which I love to do. Because I've been in music for so long and radio for so long and all the genres, and I've met people, and I can't tell you how much it means to me and how much I love, the thing I love most about my job is meeting people and seeing and trying to level with them and becoming their friend while still being me. I'm never trying to bullshit anybody like that, but I just love doing that so much. So now my secret power is going into a party, and if I meet somebody, I'm always let me talk to you for 5 minutes. And then at the end of the 5 minutes, we don't talk about music at all. I'm going to tell you three of your favorite artists. And then they're bullshit. And they start talking to me. And my success rate is insane. It probably was a little bit better when I was drinking, but I usually can, are you still there?
Did I lose
you?
Yeah. No, I'm here.
Yeah. Anyway, but it's kind of fun. It's very judgmental, and it's very probably wrong of me to guess people's artists based on who they getting to talk to them, but whatever, man. I kind of can do it.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, that's awesome.
And my favorite thing is usually I'll say if I'm talking to some, tough dude or something like that, and I figure out they're kind of a classic rock lover, just by talking to them, I'll be like, you love Led Zeppelin, you love, Rolling Stones or something. And then I'll be like, and secretly you love Madonna. And they'll be like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I know. I got you, dude.
Yeah, we all have that guilty pleasure, right? That one artist.
And why is it a guilty pleasure? Who cares, man? Madonna fucking kicks ass.
Yeah, she sure does. She sure does. So, for you, for when you're going through all this stuff, right? And, a guy like me, do you think there will ever be a time where if I called into the radio station tomorrow or today, whatever, and I said to you, hey, Jackson, can you play?
Nope.
Why?
No, I don't play requests. I can't.
Right, yeah, but so why?
Because, God. Cruiser plays requests because she has the all request lunch at noon, right. And that's a lot of stations. So,
and Cruiser's also been in Boston country radio for ever.
Yes. And she's fantastic. Love her to death. But regardless, even if Cruiser were to leave or whatever, somebody else would come. There still would be an all request lunch, probably at noon. It's just, it's a great feature and it's great to do requests. Maybe they would get rid of it. Maybe that would be, I don't know. Anyway, it's not happening. So the all request lunch is sticking around for a long time. But the rest of the time, radio has become, and it had to become, unfortunately, so researched and so
rigid
to be able to make money and all that the rules are pretty real when it comes to the people who are programming radio stations, any format, not just country. You're not going to find many radio stations that are commercial radio stations nowadays that are actually playing requests. And there are some, there definitely are some, but for the most part, especially in the larger markets, the larger, so like Boston, New York, the bigger you get, the less requests you're going
to
see.
All right. So then I'm going to put your feet to the fire for this one.
Sure. Right? Go for it, dude. It's fine.
So you do the top six at six.
Yep.
Right. So is that all bullshit? There's not actually.
It's all bullshit. Yep.
All right. So the most requested songs of the day are not really most requested songs.
I shouldn't have said that. I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, to tell you the truth.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good, though. And is it totally bullshit? No, it's not totally bullshit because we know what people are calling and requesting. So my boss, well, actually, it's not even my boss. It's the music director who programs it, does program it with requests in mind, knowing what's coming in. But there's no actual number of requests where I think at some point I remember back in the day, which was probably 15 years ago, we had a sheet in the studio and everybody would put a little dash mark next to the songs that were getting requests. And then even then, I don't think they were actual countdowns. I think the countdowns were not actual.
Okay. So to save it, right. It's not so much people calling in, but it's what if I don't even know.
Well, here's the deal. Like, when we're playing music, if we were to play the most requested songs at 6 o'clock every day, then that would mean that every one of those songs are in a rotation. So some of them get played every 4 hours, some of them get played every 5 hours, some of them get played every 2 hours if it's like one of our monsters or something like that.
Yep.
If we were to play the most requested songs at 6 o'clock every day and those requests didn't change, which they probably wouldn't change that much every single day, then we're going to play the same songs at 6 o'clock every day to keep those rotations doing what they need to do. So the rest of the day gets an equal amount of those songs. We would have to break those rotations pretty heavily at some point where instead of hearing the song in 2 hours, you're going to hear it in 30 minutes or something like that, which we don't want to do. So I think because of that, it stops it from being a legitimate countdown all the time.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. I get what you're saying. I also get the politics behind it.
You know, I know, like, I get it too. And I'm not part of all that stuff. So I'm just telling you from an outsider, insider kind of view.
let's just say in country music, right? Since you've been at 102.5, is there a song that stands out that got played so often that you like, you hear it now and you're like, oh my God.
No. Well, yes, definitely. There's one playing right now. And then there's one that is, like, we all talk about one certain song that we talked about at the time. And now when we talk about a song, so if a song tests very well, and these tests are legitimate, like they spend a lot of money, they do call out research, they do this kind of stuff, you know, whatever it is. If it's testing the best with our core audience, how can we not play it a lot, you know?
Right.
So the song that is the classic, the one that's being played right now is Heart on Fire by Nate Smith.
Yeah.
It just keeps testing. And the thing is, we jumped on that song before any other radio station in the country. So we were like the first. So Nate Smith loves Country 102.5 and loves Boston because we kind of gave him his break and played him a lot before other radio stations. But because of that, we played Heart on Fire early. It was Whiskey on You, and we did that one early. But then Heart on Fire came out, jumped on it early. It tested immediately for us really well. So we moved it up. It starts playing more often. It takes forever for a song to go up the chart. So by the time it hits number one, we're still playing it a lot. It's still testing great for us.
Right.
The song goes down the chart. For some reason, it's still testing great for us. So we still have to play it a lot. And to all of us, it's burning. The song that's the classic example of it is Lee Bryce, One of Them Girls.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
At the time, if you can remember, at the peak of Lee Bryce, One of Them Girls, it felt like we were playing it three times at once.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I like the song, and I now when I hear it, I'm like, oh, Lee Bryce, One of Them Girls. Okay, cool. Like, it gave enough of a break for me that I can actually hear it again.
Yeah. All right. Now, can I put your feet to the fire again? And if you can't answer it, don't want to answer
I'll
it.
Try, man. I'll try.
Do not feel obligated at all, right?
Please, nobody forward this podcast to my bosses. Thank you.
I love that you think that I have that much of an influence.
No, but if they hear it, then that's enough influence hearing the words out of my mouth to fire me.
Right. No, they won't. If they fire you over, you know.
They won't. I'm just kidding around. I'm just kidding around.
So, especially, I mean, I only know it and see it because, you know, I listen to the radio station and all that up here. But when I did first start listening to country radio pretty heavily, right, it was always you guys. You know, the other station in the city, great people over there. Just I never felt a connection. And that makes me sad because there's a few people on that station that I do have a personal connection with. Just whatever. Anyway, long story short. So I have seen over the last, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, whatever it has been, there's been a lot of change in the radio station, right? Whether it's, you know, you and Hannah in the morning, you know, Cruz has always been in the afternoon. I can't remember the kid that was in the afternoon's name anymore.
Kevin Kennedy, man. He's good.
Yeah. He was such a spitfire, you know, he was great in that spot.
Yeah.
And then honestly, I never listened after that because, you know, you're home, but, how does that work? Like, how do you, like, you know, when you were moved from the morning show to the late, you know, the drive, you know, the home, you know, how does that work? Does somebody come to you and say, "Hey, Jackson, we're going to move you from mornings to afternoons"?
A lot of times it does, but this didn't happen that way here. So
gotcha.
I mean, I'll straight up, man. And this is the most painful thing of my entire career. Like, no doubt about it. And it changed me as a human being, which is good. I think it changed me for the better. I always thought I was supposed to be a morning guy. Like, and I worked my ass off always. I still work my ass off nonstop all the time. And like when I started in radio, I knew that I wanted to be Maddie in the morning. Like I knew when I listened to Maddie in the morning, I would always be like, that guy has a messed up mind. And the things that he's saying are things that I think and that I say and that other people are like, man, that's fucked up. But then they laugh really hard, you know? And I'm like, that's going to be me. I can do it. I listen to Maddie and I hear his swagger and all that. And I'm like, I can do this. And I studied after that. And there was, and this is crazy, dude. There was probably like 2 or 3 years where I have a Sonos speaker system in my house. And with that, you could set schedules for streaming. And I would wake up in the morning at 6 o'clock and I would start listening to morning shows. And every 30 minutes, I had my Sonos changing to another radio station. So I could listen. So 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10, 10:30, 11, 11:30, noon. Because I would listen all the way to all the morning shows from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast, which gave me a lot of time because of the time change. And I practiced and I listened. I took notes. I was like, okay, that worked. That didn't work. That was good. That wasn't good. Blah, 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 blah. And I was so ready when I got in to do mornings. And the first time I got to do mornings was Baltimore. And they told me I was going to have a whole team and all that. They put me in there and it was just me by myself. I didn't even have a producer. And I was like, this is just not going to work. And I did my best. And I think I really made a super connection with the people in Baltimore. Like they still talk to me all the time on social media and I love them. I love what they did for me because I was in a horrible spot, but it didn't work. It wasn't the right setup. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get another chance someday. And that's when I started talking and pitching myself for Country 102.5. I'm like, this is going to be it, man. I can do it. And then they put me in there and I had a harder time with it than I thought. And there was a lot more politics and there's a lot more into going into doing a morning show than I thought.
Right.
So, and there's meetings and prep and just every day I would get off the air and it would always be about like my English and the English that I use, if it was proper or not proper. And I was like, dude, I talk like people, like, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about bigger picture, which, you know, it was just me. I had to learn it. And in the end, I went to my boss and I was the one who said Kevin Kennedy had left and he was gone and they were going to start looking for somebody to fill that spot. I kind of had the vibe at that point because I was with Hannah and then Hannah left and then we've got Ayla and I was with Ayla and I could just feel it every day when I went in. I felt like I wasn't being myself and I felt like I was having a very hard time with it. And I feel like I wasn't representing myself properly. I wasn't having enough fun. I was thinking way too much about the words coming out of my mouth instead of like what we were doing. And it really messed with me to the point where I had to accept the fact that like, I don't have the skills to do morning radio. I don't. I can do afternoon radio like a motherfucker all day. And I think, and this is where I had to swallow that pill that I can't do my dream. My dream, I can't do it. But I'm really good at this. And so I started hanging my hat on, one of the best in the world at what I do. And I'll tell everybody, I'll go into my bosses and I'll say, hey, I want to be the best in the world at being as a jock, not morning show, as a DJ on the radio. I want to be the best in the world. And I think about balance of breaks. I think if I do something stupid, the next break can't. I got to take care of the station and do station business and make sure I'm supporting the station, because that's what's way more important than me. All this stuff, like I'm thinking about all, I'm going to air a phoner, and then I'm not going to put a phoner on for a little bit. And then I'm going to make a dumb joke with a punchline. And then the next one, I'm not going to do that again. And there's all this stuff that I have to think of that is what I take seriously to think. I think of myself as a professional person in this job, and I take it really seriously. But at the same time, like what you're saying, when changes happen, sometimes you have to accept the fact that you're not who you thought you were going to be. You know what I'm saying?
Because can I tell you something a little funny?
Yeah, sure.
So when you and Hannah were on the morning show, right, I literally listened religiously. I thought you guys had a great back and forth. And I've had the biggest crush on Hannah since I figured out what she looked like.
Everybody
I know that's
does.
Super sexist. And if she hears this, I'm so sorry, Hannah, but I like big girl crush. Right. So I remember the day that she announced she was leaving, and you being in this industry, you kind of find out some things through people, and shit. And I was like, I'm all done with this fucking radio station.
Like, a lot of people said that.
And I'm not going to lie to you, I stopped listening for a little while.
Yeah.
A lot of it was because I was getting more into Spotify and, all this other stuff, right? And I wasn't in the car in the mornings at those times. But, and then, being a fan, right? Because I am. I love Country 102.5. You will never hear me talk shit about you guys ever.
That's nice. Thank you.
You, honest to God, you guys... probably more than you guys have given me a lot of breaks that I don't even think you realize.
That's really nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I mean that. I mean that from like the bottom of my soul.
I get that, man. And I really do. I that means a lot for like that's what we look for, man. That's awesome.
So, as a consumer, as a fan, I wasn't happy, right? And then things come up, right? And then it's you and Ayla. And I've met Ayla on a personal level a few times. I think she's a sweetheart, all this stuff.
But totally.
For me, just a personal thing. Again, I'm not talking shit about Ayla Brown because she's a very sweetheart.
It's just like artists. Some people like some artists, some people don't. I get you.
Right. Like I didn't understand how she worked for a morning show. Again, nothing bad. Again, nothing bad at all. And I've begged her to come on this show and timing just hasn't lined up. And then, Jonathan comes on and, I'm thinking of it based on what you're saying. And, Jonathan, that's a guy I would love to drink beers with because the things he says on the radio, I can only imagine what he would say, not on the radio.
Yeah.
And it's just so weird how it changes and how it works and,
And I'll tell you, man, I do feel bad. That Hannah didn't work out because I think that has to do with me. You know what I mean? Like, I think that part of things not working the way
Hey, everyone. As always, I wanted to just tell you about our friends over at The Bar Book. The Bar Book is a mobile app designed to eliminate the guesswork when looking for a great drink and introduce users to new brands that have the flavors they love, regardless of price or name recognition. How badass is that, guys? In the same way music sharing apps introduce you to new songs, the Bar Book will give you personalized drink recommendations based on the flavors you love. That's freaking cool. The Bar Book is a veteran-owned brand founded by two U.S. Army veterans, Mike and Dolly, and they have a lot going on with this cool new app, guys. Check it out. We had Mike on the show not too long ago. You can check them out at thebarbook.co. You can follow them on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all at The Bar Book. Rate your favorite beer, spirits, cocktails, and discover new ones that match your flavor profile all on The Bar Book. Go download it. Love having these guys as friends. Check it out. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Wasn't because I wasn't the one that said get rid of Hannah. Like, if that's not what I'm saying at all, that wasn't it. I love Hannah. Hannah and I are still homies, like up till now, no doubt. Like, she's one of my favorite people.
Honest to God, Jackson, not to cut you off, but there was a time there, and if I don't mean this in a bad way, and I hope your wife doesn't take offense to it, but like, you guys had that like couple interaction, you know what I mean? Like that.
That's funny, because I always thought of her as like my kid sister. Like,
right, but you know what I mean? Like, you had that connection.
There was, yeah, you, for sure. She and I, we connected on so many things, man, starting with emo music, like all the things, because I'm like, I'm older, but like, but I'm still a kid. Like, right. Everything, I relate with everything with a kid. So like, it's, yeah, it was really cool. But anyway, I apologize to you because you liked Hannah on the radio. I think she was, I think I caused her not to succeed in Boston, because if she had a better partner who was more established, who knew what they were doing in mornings, I think she could have worked out way better. And I think it was my fault. Like, and then I moved on and I tried to, and I think I'll say great things about Ayla Brown. She has the best work ethic I've ever seen in my entire life. She's the biggest grinder and hustler I've ever seen in my entire life. She learned, it's in her blood. I mean, her mom is Gail Huff, you know, like I think she's doing what she's supposed to be doing. And it almost was at that point when I was working with Ayla, I could see her getting better fast. And I was like, I don't really see myself working out here. Like, a lot of times the weird things I say are a little bit, it's not like Jonathan's type stuff. My stuff is like stoner humor kind of sometimes. And sometimes it's not even like, it'll go over people's head that I'm with. And if that happens, it's the worst thing, because then it looks really dumb. So
yeah,
it just wasn't, I knew that if I stayed there, we might not have been successful. It might've affected her as well. So I was like, I gotta get the fuck out. I gotta go back to what I can do well. And that's be a radio DJ, you know? So, but yeah, I get it, dude. And Jonathan's the right guy for the job, and Ayla's, I think, the right woman for the job. And I feel bad, because I think, thankfully, Hannah's in Nashville and right now and doing great, and she's loving life and everything. So it all worked out well. I just feel bad. I wish I could still hang out with her, and that, you know, it's partly my fault, no doubt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't.
It's fine. No, you don't have to talk about whether. Yeah, it's all good. I've made peace with all of the stuff that, you know, but that's heavy shit, dude. That's honest. Down, telling you, like, it sucks. I had cried a lot of times about it. I questioned myself about it, like all these things. Like, it's a lot of shit realizing that you can't do what you think you can do, you know?
Right.
Anyway,
now, but is there ever a conversation, though, like, you know, when you're going through all that stuff, is there a conversation with the powers to be, or even with yourself, where it's like, you see, you know, again, I don't want to give too much to the other station because talking to you about yours.
Oh, no. Okay. If it had to do with ratings, we never, at least when I was a part of it, we weren't getting beat at all. So it's
okay.
It had nothing to do with that. And even like, as far as like competition goes at this point, and radio has changed a lot. Like, back when I was young and in radio, like, if you had a competitor in the same town, you weren't nice to each other. And some people are still like that.
Right.
But for the most part, we all are doing the same job. And at some point, we're probably going to work together. So everybody's kind of cool to each other at this point. I wish the best for them. I still want to destroy them. But like, you know.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was just more curious, you know, like, because, you know, when you have a homegrown morning show, right? And I say that with like actual DJs that are here.
Yeah.
You know, and going up against like Bobby Bones, like, I mean,
so many people think Bobby Bones is in Boston.
Really?
Yeah, there's a good amount of people that think that. My wife told me, one of her friends, she works at Mass General as a nurse, and she said one of her friends was saying that they thought that Bobby Bones was in Boston. And I'm like, dude, that's a very educated person. What are you talking about?
Right.
And then that's when I was like, shit, I think that's probably what a lot of people think then. Dang.
Right. That's wild.
I think
that's...
he says live from Nashville, though, doesn't he? I don't know.
I don't know. Probably. I mean... But dude, this is, I love the insight you've been given. This is awesome.
I hope I didn't give too much, but like, I don't know why not? Like, why can't we now? I don't know. There's definitely secrets about radio I would never give. I'll protect my business like straight to the end.
Of course.
But there's definitely stuff that, who cares, dude? It's 2024. We got to talk about some stuff.
You know, it's funny. Obviously, you know Allison Sahill. And
yeah, I love her.
She was on this show early on.
Yeah, I remember.
And, you know, I've made a great relationship with Allison, and, you know, again.
Allison is a salesperson, who was a salesperson at Country 102.5, the radio station I work at, just for people who don't
know. Right. And, you know, now she's in Worcester and it's great. And so, you know, I got connected with her early on, and we hit it off really well. And, you know, she gave me a lot of insight and a lot of like, you know, hey, this is coming kind of thing. And, you know, when she was on this show, it was just so...
Burp. Uh-oh. Did I lose you? I heard you conk out there.
Tell me all this.
There you are.
No, somebody tried to conk.
I'm sorry. I lost you there for a second. You conked out. But so she, when she came out, it was cool. She was like letting you know some of the stuff.
Well, no, not even. She would tell me some stuff, but then like when I put her feet to the fire, she was like, nope, nope. And I'm like, come on, Allison.
I'm not surprised. Allison is like, she is country radio to the core.
Oh, yeah.
And I love her for it. And yep. I think she's definitely, I felt a little uncomfortable answering some of the questions because I think I'm old school and I think that that's kind of what you do. You know what I mean? Like,
listen, if you
want to. No. I'm both. I'm the kind of person that will say everything. If it's real and it's honest, I want to tell you. I want to say
right,
it, you know?
Right, I get it.
But I'm also a little old school where I'm protect the business kind of thing.
Absolutely.
You know,
always
I mean?
Protect the business. 100%. 100%. And when we get off this, if you're like, hey, take that out.
No, I think everything is cool. I don't think I said anything that was
I mean, I don't think so either, but, you know.
Yeah.
And if anybody at the radio station has something to say, tell them, bring it to the Boots and Whiskey podcast because – We'll have a conversation. Maybe they can give me a job.
Yeah, right. You know, if they have a problem with it, what probably will happen is I'll send you an email saying, yo, dude, can you take this part out? Thanks.
Right, right. Right, on the official 1025 email address.
yeah, that one.
No, I mean, there's some things I might just take out just to save. But,
all right.
But
yeah, just so you can put them up as little reels later on.
No, like that's way too much.
When you turn
effort.
On me and you want to sink me,
that's way too much effort. I don't have that kind of thing. So, thank you for being here, man.
It's been fun. It's been cool.
I've had a blast, and this is, man. I
really just wonder, like, where being in country radio and seeing the things that are coming up with country radio right now. How can we, and the ratings are still strong, but country radio is definitely one of those things where it's not mainstream. Like we're right. not top 40. It's easier for a station like Kiss 108 or Mix or, you know, like a hot AC station for these days or a WROR, like a Classic Hits.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, it's easier for those stations to have wide range and, but country is kind of doing the same thing right now where we're kind of becoming pop where there's so many genres yeah. underneath one umbrella. Well, can the audience accept all country music and enjoy a country radio station? That's in 2024. That's what I wonder.
You know what? I think I'm going to give you a knee-jerk reaction. I'm going to say no.
Yeah, see, that's fucked up, man.
It is. I don't think you'll ever see, especially up here. I mean, you'll definitely never see it up in New England where you have a country music station that – I don't want to say rivals, but would play nothing but, you know, bands like Cody Johnson and 49 Winchester and, you know, the Texas stuff, the quote unquote real country music, right?
That would be awful because that would take that station would probably wouldn't do that well, like as numbers. Cause like, you know, that to me, that would be kind of like a WFNX back in the day,
yeah.
which I loved.
Oh,
WFNX
was fucking amazing.
It was the best alternative radio station
yes.
in the country.
Yep.
In the country. And I loved that moment of time. But the fact is it never really did all that great in ratings.
Right.
You know what I mean? Cause it was a niche. So if that were to happen and we had, you know, call it the Cody Johnson, Zach Bryan station, it would be an amazing radio station and the fans that would listen would be diehard fans
oh, yeah.
of that radio station if it was done right, but it would never get that greater ratings. Meanwhile, it would take ratings from Country 102.5 and the mainstream country
yeah.
station, which would then send us further down, which would
right.
hurt country music overall
right.
because neither station would do that well.
Right. Exactly. You know, I could only see a station like that doing well in like Maine, New Hampshire and like, but
yeah,
you know, the demographic in Boston isn't that of, you know, that kind of country music, you know, it, and I think that's why we see, you know, cause where I am, I'm just south of Worcester. Right. So
yeah.
I think that's why we see a lot of those bands come through Worcester because, you know, Nash Icon will play, you know, some offshoot stuff every now and again, because they can, they're not a huge station. They don't have a huge reach. You know,
yeah,
so
and that
kind
of falls under that, like, that brand.
Right, right. And then, like, I think, you know, I'm in, like, a perfect spot because I can get the Worcester station, the Providence station, and the Boston stations.
Oh, yeah.
And
so what do you think? How do they compare?
it's very different because, like, I'll throw on, you know, and I'll name names because it's just easier for me. But like, I'll throw on Cat Country, right, out of Providence.
Yeah.
And they play They play songs that I would never hear on You Guys or the Other One. Never.
Yeah. Like what? Like what? Like older songs.
Yeah. Like older songs. Like, I've heard George Strait on there. I've heard Alan Jackson. You know, like, you name it. You know, but for a long time, that's what Cat Country was, though, too. That's all they played was the old stuff. You know, I remember being a kid and there was no new. I mean, I could be wrong. And if somebody's listening to this and wants to right my wrongs, that's fine. But I don't ever remember being a kid and having country, Cat Country on and it be a newer song. You know, it was always the old stuff. Always.
Yeah. Huh.
But like,
how about the DJs? What are the DJs different sound like?
Honestly, I haven't listened to them in the mornings very often or really a lot.
Just in general. I don't even mean mornings. Mornings is besides mornings is kind of what I'm talking
honestly,
about.
It's a lot more mellow.
Yeah.
It's, you know, because they're also playing to their, you know, their piece of the pie, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Rhode Island's a very different world.
Well, I also think that country radio has only changed more recently. I think when I went over to Country 102.5 was about the time things were starting to change and like a lot. I mean, I honestly think, and this is giving myself too much credit, is that when I came over to country at that time, it was still kind of like a dirty word where people were like, oh, country, like,
yeah.
Even when I came over, I made this whole big thing where I was Jackson Bluegrass. And like, I thought that was like, I thought I had to do that because country was looked at as kind of like redneck and all that kind of stuff or whatever, where now I don't think it is. And when I made the move over there and I started doing that top 40 delivery, and there was other jocks that were doing it as well, but I was one of the first. And I think after that, and I showed, especially I know a lot of the top 40 guys that came up at the same time as me. And there are a lot of like really great big name top 40, as far as nationally, that came up the same time as me, who are getting to the same age as me. And that's tough to be that age and be on top 40 radio because you're old. And
right.
Coming to country radio and still being able to do a top 40 type delivery while being, you know, doing the business for country music. I think once I did it and it was kind of successful, I think other people saw that they could do it, like top 40 guys. So I think the sound of what country radio jocks is starting to change a little bit. And that's why I was still curious, like what they sound there. Cause I love that throwback country jock, but a lot of times like they were, it wasn't corny, but it was kind of like, they had that big voice and they would say, ha, 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 ha. Like a lot of that stuff was going on without, like there wouldn't really be a punchline, but they'd be laughing about something. But for some reason it worked because they sounded fun and happy and even worked for me, where I think I'm a different kind of jock where I try to put something, there's substance in there and some kind of like, and I don't know if it really fits perfectly yet, but I think it's starting to fit more. You know what I'm saying? Does that make any sense?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Totally get what you're saying. Totally. And it,
It's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody just wants to do what they love, you know, and like, and that's all I want to do too, but I want to like make it palatable for the people that are listening. I want the audience who's there for the music. I don't want to be turned off by me. So I got to try to find that balance of like what I can do, how much I can do without pissing people off or making people feel like I'm an idiot, you know?
Right. No, I get that too. I think that's the best thing about podcasting is that, you know,
you don't have to worry about it.
I don't have to worry about it because
you know, they come to you if they like you, and if they don't, they don't listen.
Right, exactly. You know, I don't get paid to do this either way. So,
you're right.
Whatever.
It's all passion.
So, you know, again, I didn't expect you to stay on with me this long, so I appreciate it so much.
Yeah, of course.
But I'll let you get to your day because I'm sure you got way better things to do.
Yeah, I got to go to a concert. I'm actually not working today. I'm bringing my kids. We're going to Hampton Beach to go check out a concert, so I gotta go take off for that pretty soon.
Nice.
Yeah,
anybody good?
I'm going to see the guy who played the lead of Teen Beach Movie, so it'll be cool.
Who's that? I don't know. Okay, great.
Disney Teen Beach Movie. It really is. It's this kid that he was on this but he's in a really cool alternative band now, and actually I really like some of their songs, so I'm actually kind of excited to go see him. It's kind of funny.
Sweet. So I know you don't drink anymore, but we typically ask our people their boots and their whiskey of choice. And I know you're not a boot guy, but so like this is
I went to that opening of
The Boot Barn.
Boot Barn, yeah, and I loved it. I tried to buy a pair of boots that day, but Yeah, it just didn't feel right. Like, I was like, yeah. I don't know, can I wear these? Can I pull these off? I kind of dress like a slacker all the time. I look kind of like a skate surfer. So if I'm a skate surfer, which is weird because I'm an old skate surfer, and wearing cowboy boots, I don't know if it would make sense.
That's fair.
Love to, and I would love to wear a cowboy hat. I have one, but.
Oh my God, I would love to see that.
I love it, dude. The only reason I would wear a cowboy hat because I think it's cool. But I can't put headphones over them, not wear a hat, so I can't do it.
That's true.
And whiskey, I don't know. I don't really like whiskey. It kind of like I was never tough enough to take whiskey. It always tasted way too much like the barrel. So I was more of a vodka guy. I would drink a White Claw halfway and then fill the rest up with vodka, and that was my drink.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm hardcore, dude.
Yeah, apparently. Damn. Well, Jackson, thanks so much, man. This has been a pleasure. And honestly, if you have until Monday night. So if you're going through this conversation again in your brain, you're like, shit. Just let me know.
I just hope that the stuff that we talked about is at least buried by like 30 minutes, so my boss will never get there.
Oh yeah, no, this is that all that stuff. way after that.
Yeah, good.
Oh man. Cool, brother. Well, thanks so much, and enjoy the show tonight. And we'll
all right. Thank you. We'll I appreciate soon. You very much, man. And,
oh
and
hell yeah!
Keep doing what you're doing. And I know, like, I love that you're starting to get nominated for some stuff. But whenever, like, if something hits, and like, don't lose your hope. You know what I mean? Keep doing it for the passion. Like, you're very passionate about what you're doing. You're passionate about country music, and it's important to have people doing these kind of podcasts and helping out those smaller people coming up, and some of the big ones too. And you're gonna get bigger and bigger people as you keep doing it. But like, just keep going, dude. Don't get frustrated. And, you know, I think what you're doing is awesome.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it. I really do.
And that's why I shout you out. You always like, why don't you shout me on the radio? I'm like, because why not, dude?
Say it because I'm upset. I say it because, like, you know, it's always like I'll be in the car and then I'll get out of the car and then somebody will text me and be like, oh, Jackson just talked about you. And I'm like, son of a bitch.
Hell yeah.
Like, I never hear it live.
Like, I feel like those people that, I don't know. I hate people that'll get like to a higher level and not bring the people up that are there because they want to protect their spot. Fuck that. Like me, like as far as like from the bottom, like I try to be a good person. I try. I'm the worst when I'm a driver. I'm the worst road rage person and all that. But like I try to bring people up, and I feel about it about radio the same way, especially as I'm getting older. Like I am never going to block the younger generation from getting up and taking my spot, but I'm going to work my ass off to try to like keep myself relevant enough where they can't have it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yep.
And if they can beat me at some point and they take my spot, then fucking it's your turn to run. So take the wheel and I'll step back. But until then, I'm going to keep on trying to do my best to be there and take them up with me, you know, like anybody who needs any, like, if I can help anybody at all, give them any kind of piece of knowledge, I'm never going to hide it. I'll tell them everything. And if they use it to beat me, then great.
Right. Right. That's, I mean, damn, man. You're like a unicorn.
I am a unicorn, dude. I got a horn growing out of my head and it's a giant zit.
Oh, shit. All right.
Anyway, dude, thank you so much for having me on. Oh, I really, really appreciate it. And this has been a blast.
Anytime. It's been a hell of a time.
Cool. Well, I'll catch you at the next show. And send me an email about that other one because I already forgot that one that's happening off the rails.
I will.
All right, dude. I'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Later, homie.
Bye. Now we're going to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint, our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of The Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check them out, theporchsouthern.com. All right. Well, there you have it, guys. Our conversation with Jackson Blue, again, DJ from Country 102.5 here in Boston. Honestly, if you at any point in this episode was like, wow, I don't like this dude, you know what? You're an idiot. And that's all I'm going to say about it. Because Jackson is the
coolest. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. I know I sure as hell did. Like I said at the beginning, like the radio guys, I love having radio guys on here. Again, you know, country radio has its faults, right? But don't we all? And, you know, I think that's what also makes country radio so, so good too, you know? But yeah, I mean, not just my opinion, but who am I? I just fucking host a podcast. So again, thank you, Jackson, for being on today. If it's your first time here, thank you. Go check out our socials, Boots and Whiskey Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, the whole nine yards there. And then bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com is our website. Again, the other conversation we put out today was with Trigger South. Love those guys. They're a local bar band that has just released a new EP called Game On. Go check that out. Go check out that episode. Big thank you to everybody that's been on the show today. We greatly appreciate it. These are two conversations that I wanted to get out like as soon as possible. So that's why they're both out today. And they're great ones and we had fun and that's all that matters to me. So without further ado, guys, thank you so much. As you could tell here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, it's all about real people, real stories, real country. And, you know, we'll see you next Tuesday. So until then, keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass, guys. Y'all, cheers. Thank you for being here again. We will see you next Tuesday with a single episode next week. Just one. And without the rest of it, have a good night, have a good day, whatever time it is you're listening to this. Thank you for being here. I just rambled for the last 2.5 minutes. So enjoy the rest of your day, like I said, and thanks so much for being here. We couldn't do this without you. Cheers, y'all. Good night.